away. Welcome back to another episode of Connect First. I'm your host, Command Sergeant Major Sean Carnes. And today joining us is JP Lane, a Purple Heart recipient, author, performer, and also an inspirational speaker. I think you've done it all.
I do what I can, Sergeant Major.
So please tell the audience a little bit about yourself.
Right, so obviously, as every single person that's probably watching this, they really wanted to join and be a part of something bigger than themselves and join the military. For me, that sole purpose of joining the Army was actually watching the Twin Towers fall when I was in eighth grade. And that really changed everything that I wanted to do with the rest of my life. I decided that I wanted to serve. And so I joined the Army in 2008. Yes, 2008, and that changed everything that my life would ever end up becoming. So it was pretty amazing to realize how much the Army was excited to have me on board as a combat engineer and learning my craft, and I actually ended up getting to deploy. I was impatiently waiting, but finally that moment happened where I got to deploy to Afghanistan in 2010.
Oh man. And I know, you know, from watching some of your YouTube videos that I've seen and seen you've done is, you know, you talk a lot about resiliency. And we were just talking about a little bit about resiliency a minute ago and how, you know, you get stuck in a place. What are some of the things that you've done, right, and that you talk to, you know, other people about is, hey, when I'm stuck in that place, how do I get over that place? Right, to see that light at the end of the tunnel?
Well, a lot of us, we're human, right? So we have our difficulties of just straight out coming off being positive from the very get-go when something tragic happens, especially in this situation or anything anyone's faced, to be honest. And so I realized very quickly that I needed to rely on something other than my own strength. I needed to rely on changing my mindset to try and find the positive in the negative, but when I wasn't physically, mentally strong enough to do it myself, I was able to rely on those around me, my family members, my battle buddies, my faith. All of those took part in literally keeping me alive, reminding me that I still have a purpose and that I'm going to be able to get the strength to get through this moment.
Yeah. And you said a very good point in his positive mindset. And I talk about that quite often in some of my podcasts I've done, but then also my little videos I'll do on the computer is positive mindset, right? We've got to keep a positive mindset no matter what,
yes.
Right? And I'll give you a perfect example, you know, as we talk about, you know, going different career paths, right? And, you know, I went down for my brigade position was down at JTF Bravo in Honduras, not an operational brigade, right? So I could have sat there and be negative about it. Oh, there goes my career, you know, down the hill, I'm going to JTF Bravo. I have no clue what JTF Bravo is. But I looked at it and I said, hey, I'm going to use this as an opportunity. Keep a positive mindset and use it as an opportunity to learn. And wow. I mean, I learned about joint, learned about interoperability, working with our allied partners. I mean, because I kept a positive mindset. Same thing with people going to Korea. People will say, oh, Korea sucks, right? And they get that negative mindset. Instead, if you turn that over and say, I'm going to use this as an opportunity, experience a foreign land, experience, you know, different culture. And that, you know, has really helped me, you know, as you talked about positive mindset.
Right. And I'm sure that one thing that, since you didn't go in with a negative mindset and you pushed yourself through to actually find the positive in the situation, whether it was the deploying to a place you didn't really know about or really want to go to, but at the same time, because you changed that mindset into a positive, you probably inspired a bunch of people around you as well that you never knew you were going to leave an impact with, of soldiers that maybe needed a smile or maybe needed some inspiration and you to be the positive for them. So that's one of the things I try to keep myself, remind myself, and definitely if I'm not reminding myself, my wife will for sure, to remember to remain positive and keep a positive mindset because we could impact so many people around us and we have no idea.
Because if you have negative, guess what? You're more than likely going to kind of recluse yourself because you're
right.
upset about things, right?
Right.
Instead, if you're positive, you're going to be a little bit more outgoing and, like you said, help other people out or be inspirational to them.
Right.
So that's a very good point.
And well, the negative will also, you'll inspire and impact people to be negative if you are negative.
True.
So it's the same as the what you're doing when you come in with a positive
mm-hmm.
attitude. You're going to, it's a, what do they call it? It's contagious.
Mm-hmm.
Like a smile is contagious, so is anger and frustration and not liking the situation. But I've been able to find the positive in so many huge negatives that most people would never want to deal with in their entire life. And losing both my legs, that was extremely painful for a good time frame. In fact, it's still painful every single day on prosthetics, but I find the positive. And I enjoy, for example, just being able to get up and walk again. I'm very grateful for that opportunity that this kind of technology was made so that I can walk again. But on top of that, it allows me to never have athlete's foot ever again, which is really nice. But my favorite part about what I've gone through is the fact that I can choose my height. So with two prosthetics, I'm now 5'7 instead of 5'6 like I was in the Army. So you just got to find the positive in the negative situation. I mean, sometimes it can be hard. Sometimes it's hard when it's painful even, but it is possible. So
I agree 100% with you. And, you know, and you said about your wife and the team, right? As we talk about in the Army building cohesive teams, having that team around you, having, you know, your spouse. If you don't have a spouse, you have a confidant, right? Or someone you can go talk to.
Right.
It's very important. And you've got to find that person. Plus, hanging around with the right people.
Right.
Right. If I hang around negative people, as you said, you're going to be contagious and you're going to be negative, right?
Yep.
But if I hang around with positive people, then guess what? Contagious and I'm going to be positive. So finding that team really has probably helped out both of us, you know, as, you know, we were talking about, you know, we have them bad days and what I go home and able to talk to my spouse.
Right.
Or I have, you know, people I can talk to here that are kind of my confidants and we sit down and I can get stuff off my shoulders, off my chest, and they can give me good counsel.
Yeah, that's important because what I found when, especially when I was going through some pretty dark moments after losing my legs, was the fact that during that time I actually didn't have a spouse throughout my therapy. My parents were gone back home in Wisconsin, obviously having to work and do their life, right? So I was by myself. So everything that I had was I had to make the phone call. I had to reach out. Hey, I'm having a tough time. I'm having a difficult day. And I would call my battle buddies because why? The Army taught me one of the mottos that I will never forget. I got your six, battle buddy.
Mm-hmm.
And so many of us understand that that doesn't just mean in the fun moments, in the good times, when you have your soldier six, it's about being there in their worst moments too. When they're struggling, you're actually there. Hey, how can I be there for you? Because sometimes we forget that we need to set this aside and pay attention and use this. Because soldiers, our battle boys, they're not gonna remember us for the rank on our chest, but they will remember us for how we took care of them, how we treated them, and we're there for them. So it's important to truly have each other's six.
Yeah, I agree 100% with you. You know, and I even, you know, when I'm talking to soldiers, is in talking to leaders, whenever you have them soldiers who are having some difficult times or just, you know, anything, you're helping them out, is, you know, I just don't have your six, but I'm going to walk right beside you and I'll hold your hand through whatever situation you go to or go through. And as you're talking about friends, right? You know who your friends are when they stick with you through them bad times.
Literally, I had woken up from my coma and you would think, I grew up in Green Bay, Wisconsin, don't hold it against me.
But I won't.
the friends that I grew up with in middle school and high school, none of them called or even came to visit me. Who was there and who spent their hard-earned money to come visit? My battle buddies.
Mm-hmm.
So those are not just your friends, but your brothers and sisters in arms who will forever be there for you no matter what. Even if they are off, go off and live their lives afterwards, they're still a phone call away. they're still there to take care of you or have that conversation of, hey, it's been a pretty difficult day, but if you got 5 minutes, and they're the ones who are going to truly show that they're friends beyond. So.
Yeah, agree. And, you know, one you said about in there also is, you know, about the heart, right? And I agree 100% with you because, you know, I say leadership is a relationship built on inspiration, trust, serving, and caring for others, right?
Right.
And building that relationship with somebody. It's not building the relationship here. It's building the relationship here, you know, from the heart. And when you speak from the heart, that's being you, right? As people say, hey, just be you. Yeah. What does that mean, right? That means don't speak from here. Speak from here who you are,
right?
And because then that opens you up, right, to be authentic and to get stuff off your shoulders or receive stuff from somebody else to help them out. And that you're listening, as we talk about active listening, but hearing what they're saying to be able to understand that, okay, without speaking, let them get that stuff off their shoulders. Then, okay, let's talk about how we can help each other get through this situation.
Yeah, I agree. It's important just to listen. I mean, sometimes we don't do a very good job and we just want to talk. I'm guilty of that myself, but when we actually sit down and listen to what they're going through, a lot of the times we'll find out something new about our battle buddies that we never knew because we didn't take the time before to sit down and be like, hey, how are you doing? What are you going through? How can I be there for you? And they'll tend to open up and say, hey, I'm actually, thanks for asking, but I'm going through this. And you're like, what? I didn't even know that. And well, now I know. So let's sit down and talk about it and let's get you through the situation that you're in. And it all leads back, like you said, to the heart. So.
Oh, man. And they will open up again.
Oh, yeah.
When you're sitting there, you know, doing active listening, you're hearing and they understand you're being authentic.
Yeah.
Right? Just like soldiers. You know, I'll go down the motor pool and I have this little ranger chair I sit in, right? And I'll plop it down and then, you know, just have the soldiers sit down right there and we just talk about things, right? And they're like, it's amazing the stuff they will talk to you about if you're being on their level and just having a conversation with them.
Right.
Just I don't even really going to ask them, you know, questions. We just talk. Hey, what do you all want to talk about? Hey, what's going on? How's everyone's day going? Right.
Right.
And I've learned so much about them, you know, in a 5 minute conversation. Shoots, I figured out that a soldier wants to stay here at JBLM from a 5 minute conversation.
Yeah.
And then how can I help him or her stay here at JBLM? Maybe they have some family here, right? Little things like that, little wins are huge that soldier will never forget.
Yeah, absolutely. And you said the word authentic. And with the times that we live in right now, I think authentic is literally we're like this all the time, right? Always on our phones. Or if we're not on our phone, it's right here on the table next to us. Take it off the table, put it in your pocket, and don't touch it. Real authenticity is face to face with no distractions, and that's where we got to get past that. The phone can get checked later. It doesn't need to be right here. Yeah, yeah. Or on the table. No, it's face to face human contact and conversation that's more important than any conversation or text you could get in that moment.
Yeah.
So that's real authenticity.
And I agree with you, right? So, because we are into this here, right? Texting.
Yes.
Instead of having them conversations to where you can open yourself up and you can have emotions, right? Me texting, there's no emotion with that texting, right? Yeah, I might be mad about something or I might be sad, but I'm not able to get that out, right? I'm going into a phone instead of me sitting here, you know, face to face with you. You can see how I'm feeling and you can, from the heart, right, feel me,
right?
And then we can help each other out.
Right.
Yeah, the social media world, you're exactly right. Face to face, because I tell everyone, you know, emails will suck the life out of you, right?
Oh, yeah.
So I tell everyone, hey, I'm going to check them in the morning real quick. And then the rest of the time, I'm out and about seeing people.
Right.
So if you need me, call me, or I'm going to come see and we'll just have a conversation. Because I think this is where it's meant to be right here. Not on a text, right? Okay, a phone call if I can't come see you, right? But right. This is what I want to do right here. Because this is how we connect. This is how we build relationships. We don't build a relationship through the phone. We build a relationship by one-on-one conversation.
Right, and you know how many text messages I've sent that I thought sounded nice and good, yeah. But the other person was like, what? And it starts an argument because they took it and read it in a different manner. So yeah, don't do text messages. It's not good.
Yeah.
It could start an even worse fight or argument or situation. Face-to-face is the best.
Oh, so. You're exactly right. Because here's another thing, too, is if you text, right, and I'm angry, then it's going to that text, and you're not doing yourself any good.
Right.
Right? Because then the other person, that reciprocal, it's just going to go back and forth.
Yeah.
Right? Instead, let's sit down and have a mutual discussion, right? Get some of our frustrations out, and we talk about things. Don't yell. Have a conversation. Hey, I'm frustrated at you because of the thing you did yesterday.
Yeah.
And you're like, well, I'm frustrated at you for the thing you did yesterday. Okay, how do we fix this?
Yeah.
Right? When you start doing stuff like that, that's where you're speaking from the heart as you're talking about. And then we can get past it. Okay, I got it. I got to fix myself. I got to work on myself. Let's help each other.
Yeah.
Work on each other, right?
Yeah.
And you're building the relationship among each other, too. And that trust, right?
Yeah.
And serving and caring for others.
It's important.
It's very important. Yeah. I agree. So tell us a little bit about your book that you wrote. I didn't get a chance to read it, but I seen that you wrote a book.
I did. My wife, Crystal, actually... I like to tell people that she took off one of my legs and beat me with it till I wrote my book, but she didn't do that. She only does that on Fridays. But anyways, so she encouraged me to tell the full story, to write it all down and tell the full story, because for the 7 years prior to Crystal and I actually meeting, I would sing and perform and I would get up on stage and literally just tell maybe a 5-minute version of my story, so people weren't like, why is a robot getting up on stage and singing? We have no idea what's going on right now. So I would just tell them very quickly my story and what happened to me and why I'm on prosthetics, and then go about the rest of the show. And she said, no, you can actually leave a bigger impact than you even possibly could imagine. You have to tell your full story. And so I wrote everything that I have been through in this life, and it has been a life that most people wouldn't expect me to have started from, especially from the very beginning. Parents divorced and separated, and all sorts of crazy things happened after that, and little did I know I'd find myself in the Army and picked the most dangerous job at the time that I could, being a combat engineer, which was a blast. I had a good time. And everything that I had gone through in my deployment and afterwards and waking up from my coma in the hospital, she said, all of it needs to be written down. And so I was like, okay, I'll start writing. So I started writing everything, and some of my buddies, I would tell them, hey, I'm actually writing my book. And some of my buddies who are Marines, they're like, are you going to have pictures? Yeah, guys, I'll have pictures, okay? They won't be with crayons and you can't color them in, but I will have pictures. So, yeah, it was a long journey. It took me about a year, year and a half to write. Mm-hmm. And then we finally released it in 2019. It was awesome. So I think it's a great read. I kept it short because I'm not much of a reader myself,
right.
So I didn't want everybody reading a 500-hour long book. So I had a couple of my friends tell me they actually flew from one side of the U.S. to the other and finished it in that trip.
Wow.
So I was like, okay, that's good. It's a quick read, and it gives most of the details of everything I've gone through, and hopefully will continue to leave an impact when people do read it.
Oh, so, man. Yeah. Because that's one thing, you know, I found that has helped me at times with some of the frustrations I might be going through, even good times, either regardless, is writing stuff down. Like I journal every single night. I journal. And just whatever's on my mind, right, to get out of here and get it somewhere else.
Oh, yeah.
Right? So I think that, you know, helps out anybody if you're able to put it on paper, right? Whatever it is on paper, get it out of here, get it on here, whether you're writing a book, whether you're frustrated about something, and then it don't stick here, right?
Yeah.
And that's where you can change some of that negative into a positive by getting it out of your head, so then you can change the mindset because it's here instead of here and stuck there, right?
Yeah, that's extremely important. People always ask if how I felt when I was writing it, and my goodness, it was a roller coaster ride of emotions for sure.
I can imagine.
So, but it was good. It was healing because I was getting it out and telling the full story, and it encouraged me to, after writing it all down, realize that, okay, so now what can I do with this? And Crystal said, let's go out and tell it. And so because of that, I've been able to not dwell on it, not think, okay, well, I went through a crazy deployment and so many things happened while I was there, but how do I get through this? And it was pretty amazing because even in my therapy of learning how to walk on prosthetics, I literally decided that I wasn't going to let those thoughts of my deployment and everything that I went through conquer me.
Mm-hmm.
I have control of my thoughts. I have control of my actions. And so people would tell me all the time, hey, you're going to have PTSD because of everything you've gone through. And I was like, why? Why do I need to have that just because I've gone through so much tragedy? No. I want to live a good life.
Mm-hmm.
So I decided to use not only my book, but also when I talk and tell my story, to remind people, just because you've been through something traumatic does not mean you have to struggle and be a statistic. You can change it. You can be strong enough. You can change your mindset to be a positive one and continue living life the best you possibly can. And to the point where I'll tell people my version of PTSD is post-traumatic successful domination.
Oh, man.
So, because I'm going to successfully dominate my trauma and I will not allow myself to be another statistic.
Mm-hmm.
And if I can do that, then what's stopping any person on this planet from having the same mindset and not allowing something to bring them down and stop them from living life?
Agree 100%, right? And, you know, people like you are inspiration to us and to everybody, because you're exactly right. If you're able to do it, I always had the mindset when I went through Ranger school, you know, I said, hey, I'm going to get my Ranger tab. Why?
Yeah.
Because other people did it. If they can do it, I can do it.
Yeah.
Same thing with you. I agree 100% with you. If you can do it, I can do it.
Yep.
Anybody can do it, right? They just have to see that. If he did it, I can do it.
Yeah. Right? Sometimes we forget that. Even sometimes I will remind myself, yeah, I lost two legs. But we have battle buddies that lost three limbs, four limbs. They have to be fed, clothed for the rest of their lives. But it's not stopping them from living. So I have zero excuses to continue to better myself as a human being slash robot and get out there and continue to live life and do what I can to inspire others to do the same thing. So. Yeah, sometimes we need to remind ourselves that we have battle buddies out there that are in worse situations than ourselves.
Oh, yeah.
We just need to keep going like they are.
100%. And yeah. And so that brings another point. Looking at your situation that you're in, believe me, there are people in a lot worse situations than we are.
Right.
A lot worse, right? I mean, homeless population here, you're not homeless, right? You're getting fed every day. You're getting a paycheck every day. And then, you know, going over to some of the foreign lands, too, and seeing some of their populations, you're like, okay, we're in a pretty good situation. And when you come into that position, right, it's turning that on in your brain saying, hey, I don't got it that bad, right?
Yeah.
Compared to some other people. And if he did it, I can do it.
Yeah.
Right? Again, it's that mindset, shifting that mindset whenever you get in them funky situations.
Yeah, and if I don't have it that bad, then I can help others that do get out of their situation.
Mm-hmm.
So we're just being reminding myself of that others have helped me get through my situation, and we've heard it many times, pass it on, right?
Mm-hmm.
And that's the best thing we could possibly do. If we're good in our situation, then that means we need to be helping others get out of theirs and get through what they're going through. So,
and that's awesome. Because, you know, as people will say, you know, grass is greener on the other side.
Right.
I say the grass is green where you water the grass,
yep.
Right? And that's exactly what you're doing, right?
Absolutely.
You're watering that grass, just not for yourself, but other people.
Yeah.
Wow, that's powerful to be able to do that, and we appreciate that. Because there's a lot of soldiers and leaders and everybody that just needs to hear that story and understand, hey, if he did it, if he got through, you know, and not having PTSD, I can do that too, right? Or if I'm having a bad day, he's had a bad day, I can make my way through that,
yeah.
Right? If he did it, I can do it. And so we appreciate you going out and helping these soldiers, these leaders, people, our people, as we talk about people first, helping them with resiliency.
Yeah, I'm still breathing, and I did sign that dotted line to serve and protect the United States of America and those in it. So if I'm still breathing, then I still got some work to do.
Amen. Amen. So. Thank you very much. And, you know, we appreciate having you on Connect First. You know, and I look forward to this coming out and being able to publish it on all of our different platforms. So thank you very much, J.P. Lane, for coming out. Do you have any closing comments for the audience?
No, thank you for having us. Really appreciate being here and being at JBLM for the very first time. This is exciting, so we're looking forward to hopefully leaving an impact everywhere that we go, and just continue to remember, never give up, never surrender.
Amen. Thank you again very much to the audience for tuning in, and thank you very much, JP Lane, for coming on Connect First. And I look forward to showing you around JBLM today. So
cool.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Hey, thanks for tuning in to Connect First Podcast, where we discuss leadership at its core. You can find Connect First on all your major podcast streaming platforms. Follow First Core on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram for information on upcoming episodes, as well as all things First Core. Rate, review, and subscribe to us on YouTube, and click that notification bell so you'll know exactly when we drop a new episode. Till next time.